To me, it's quite exciting, moving now into the book of Daniel. Looking forward to the second chapter tonight as we continue our journey through the Word of God. And amazing prophecies here in Daniel that are as up to date as tomorrow and next year. This morning, we'd like to look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. As the Lord has prophesied concerning the final world-dominating empire being a confederation of 10 nations, pooling their powers and their resources. And the Lord declares in verse 44, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but he shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and his kingdom shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure." I've given up hope on man's ability to really govern his fellow man. We look at the nation of Israel. It was a nation that began as a theocracy. And surely this is the highest and the finest form of government. People who are ruled by God. A nation ruled by God. And as that nation was ruled by God, the nation developed, became strong. God had chosen a man, Moses, to be the earthly spokesman for God. He was to be that instrument through whom God would rule. He would look to God for guidance on every situation that would arise. But the people were keenly aware that Moses was not really their ruler, that God was their ruler. There came a dark day in the history of the nation when the people came to the prophet Samuel. And they said, "We want you to appoint a king over us like the other nations." And Israel moved from a theocracy into a new form of government known as a monarchy. Now, a monarchy is probably one of the most efficient forms of government. And it is a great form of government, providing that you have a good king. The first king that was chosen over Israel was a man who had tremendous potential. All of the natural capacities that were necessary to make a great ruler over the people. But unfortunately, pride filled his heart. And he did not submit to God's rule in his own life. And because he did not submit to God ruling over his life, God then rejected him from ruling over the people. The second choice for king was a young boy who was just a humble shepherd. And when he took the reins of government, he had the heart of a shepherd. And he ruled over the people like a shepherd would watch over the sheep. He was concerned for the people and for the people's welfare. And he felt a tremendous responsibility toward them. And as a result, under the reign of David, the kingdom came to the apex of its glory and power. The reins of government passed on to his son Solomon. And in Solomon's reign, I suppose, through David and Solomon, the nation rose to its zenith. But after the death of Solomon, there became a gradual decline, a division of the nation, a gradual sort of downward slope of the kings, until the kings began to reign for their own benefit rather than the benefit of the people. And so as we come to the book of Daniel, we come to the end of the monarchy in Israel. Zedekiah, the last king, is to be taken as a captive to Babylon, and the kingdom of Israel is to cease. And from this point, Israel will be ruled over by Gentile kingdoms. They will not have really their own powers of government, but will come under the reign and the rule of Gentile kingdoms. And thus we enter into a time in history that is known as the times of the Gentiles, the Gentile kingdoms that will rule and that will reign. And the nation Israel, who rejected God as their ruler, who failed in the monarchy, will now become a subservient nation to the Gentile powers that shall rise. Now these Gentile powers were represented by a great image in a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And in this image of which he dreamed, incidentally, it was the image of a man, very fitting, because we have come into the age of man and humanism. The man's attempt to elevate himself to a divine status. Man's attempt to govern over his fellow man. Humanism that elevates man and denigrates God. This image that he saw, the image of a man, had a head of gold, a chest and arms of silver, stomach of brass, legs of iron, and then feet and 10 toes of iron and clay. In the interpretation of this dream, we find that this image and the various parts of it represent the kingdoms that shall rule over the earth. Beginning with the Babylonian kingdom, as Daniel said, "And thou, O Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. God has given to you a kingdom and dominion, authority and powers." But he prophesied that the Babylonian kingdom was to fall to an inferior kingdom, the Medo-Persian Empire. As silver is inferior to gold, so the Medo-Persian Empire will be inferior to your empire. And in 538 B.C., the Medo-Persian conquered over the Babylonian Empire. And you had now the developing and the reign of the Medes and the Persians. But that empire was to be replaced by the stomach of brass. And in 330 B.C., Alexander the Great conquered the Medo-Persian Empire, and you began the Grecian Empire. But that empire was to be replaced by the legs of iron, the Roman Empire, and in 63 B.C., the Grecian Empire was subdued by the Romans, and The Roman Empire was later developed and became the major world-dominating power. And so we find that with tremendous accuracy, the kingdoms that would rule the world were named by Daniel and listed by Daniel in the interpretation of the dream and later on the interpretation of Daniel's own vision. This leaves one part of the image unfulfilled. Nothing in history yet can correlate to the feet of iron and clay with the 10 toes of iron and clay. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there has not been a world-dominating empire. There have been attempts. Hitler, of course, attempted to create a world-dominating empire. Others have hoped and sought to develop a world-dominating empire. But the fact that the iron represented the Roman Empire and the iron is in the feet, iron and clay, Bible scholars have been looking for what has been termed sort of a revival of the Roman Empire, but in a weakened state, where there would be 10 nations that were a part of the Roman Empire, would be united together by treaties, the clay, and sort of speaking, of course, as he said, you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Sort of democracies that would unite together in treaties to form a powerful, major economic union by which they could rule the world. The clay being common and representing the seed of men sort of bespeaks of a democracy. Democracy is fine if people are godly. But if people are not godly, power is soon given over to the devil. And that is what is going to happen with these 10 nations that are a former part of the Roman Empire and have become united together with these treaties who seek to dominate the world. The leader who will emerge to reign over this federation will be none other than the Antichrist. It's interesting how the Lord said of the iron and clay that they will not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. For today, we do see the formation of the European community, an endeavor of the nations of Europe to join together by these treaties in the formation of what is known as the European community. But we see how many problems are developing as they are trying to put the whole thing together. And we see one nation bolting and then another nation bolting as they are each vying for the best for their own nation. And some of the nations are even threatening to pull out of the European community because iron just doesn't cleave to clay. The European community is like a clumsy giant trying to rise to his feet while he is drunk. Every nation looking out for their own interest, not willing to really give to the others, and thus we see the description fulfilled of not really cleaving to each other as iron doesn't cleave to clay. And so giant steps towards this federation of nations that could, and is my opinion, do fit this dream of Nebuchadnezzar in the formation of what will become man's final attempt to develop a world-dominating empire by which man will rule over his fellow man. But to me, what is most exciting is that the Lord declares in verse 44, in the days of these kings, the formation of this world-dominating power by the joining together of the various kingdoms, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. A kingdom that will not be given over to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. As Nebuchadnezzar was looking at this great image of a man, he saw this stone not cut with hands coming out of the mountain that smote this great image in the feet of iron and clay, so that the whole image crumbled and the stone grew into a mountain that filled the earth. Israel began as a monarchy, as a theocracy. They degraded to a monarchy, and for centuries have been under Gentile domination, first by the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, the Romans. And we are told how the Antichrist will come and conquer the city of Jerusalem, set up his image in their rebuilt temple. But Jesus said something very interesting. He said, Jerusalem shall be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Israel was now ruled over by the Gentiles. That has continued to the present day. In 1967, however, after the Six-Day War, Jerusalem again came under the control of the Israeli government. Is it possible that that signified the end of the time of the Gentiles, the development of this final kingdom that shall rule for a short period of time under the reign of the Antichrist? Israel presently is trying to survive under a democracy, but it finds itself deeply divided by the Labor Party and the Likud. And neither one has sufficient power to form a government, and so they have to set together a coalition with other smaller parties. But Israel has been divided. Its government has been divided since the inception of a nation. But the nation that began as a theocracy will soon become a theocracy again. For the Lord is going to come and establish his kingdom over the earth, and he shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. The Lord is about to put an end to man's miseries and sufferings that he has experienced through corrupt governments. He is going to bring down the governments of man and establish his kingdom in righteousness, in justice, and in peace, a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel closes this section by declaring to Nebuchadnezzar, God has made known to the king what is to come to pass, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure.